Come on in, let's reach up and touch the Lord. Oh, come on in, let's reach up and take His hand. Oh, reach on up above those clouds, reach on up and feel His power. Reach on up and let the Holy Ghost come in. Oh, come on in, let's reach up and touch the Lord.
Reach up and take His hand. touch him. Well, just believe, for when you call on his name, for touching Jesus is all that matters. Well, then your life will never be the same. Oh, there is only one way.
Way to touch. I just wanted to get up and express my feelings this evening. And I don't know about y'all, but I felt like this morning God received our praise this morning. And I think there's something to that. I think we really tapped into that, and Brother Smith tapped into the Holy Ghost and on this morning. And I just felt like, you know, what a great thing. We don't have to constantly feel like we're going to this God that we serve constantly with our problems all the time, and God, we need this and I need that, and Lord, if I touch my hands on this, I'm gonna get that. But I can just talk to him like my friend, somebody that has, that can relate to my sufferings in this world, and that just that I can just show him my appreciation for my love, and just like I would to my friends or my wife, just to let them know, just that act of me just raising my hands, just giving myself over to his covering. I was watching some of these young people and just different ones, this young man that came in today, get blessed, just to lift. I thought about that, and I've experienced that before, where sometimes you can just feel the Holy Ghost and the covering just come in so thick that you just feel like there's just something kind of in there, you know. You can just reach up and just kind of, you can feel like you can just grab a hold of it, like electric power lines or something. You get a hold of some power up there. And my experience with that is I was at the Wichita youth meeting a couple of years ago, and I felt the Holy Ghost come in, and I was just praying. I was just kind of closing my eyes, just kind of thinking about things, and I just reached up, and while I was looking up front, I was kind of out my pew, about where Sister Kelly is out there. I was kind of looking out and just kind of praising God, and I was just watching everybody worship, and it just seemed like there was that thick covering, and I was like, Lord, I want some of that. I don't want to just stand here and just kind of watch everybody else get blessed, but if I'm not going to get, there's this big crowd everywhere, and I can't get up there, but I'm just going to go ahead and raise my hands right now, and if you'll just touch me right here, I think I get close to you. It's just right next to you. And I think there's something to that, you know. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little vain, but I'm trying to work. God's dealing with me. But does anybody like there to, when you go to church, you want to fix your hair a little bit? You want your hair to look good. You don't want to look like you just got out of bed. You know, Brother Smith, that you were talking about how great heaven's going to be. Well, I don't hope there's no bedhead. That's one thing I don't like is bedhead. It's in the morning. I get ready to go to work, and if I took a shower the night before, you know, I'm trying to fix my hair, and it just doesn't settle right. Something about it when you wake up in the morning, just it doesn't work. Your hair just doesn't look good when you look just like you get out of that shower. But it's just to me that I was thinking about that, and you, pardon my expression for taking it this way, but I hope you can see where I'm going. It's like when you come out of the shower and you're getting ready and you're able to fix your hair if we look throughout the Bible, the hair is the covering. Most people know that you look at the story of Samson and his covering was his hair, and it was where he drew his strength, was the Lord's covering. And so I was thinking, you know, that's the same way. Your covering looks the most glorious when it's washed. When it's fresh, right? Think about it. Your hair flows better. It moves better. It's workable. It's changeable. You can maneuver it. And you ladies can relate to what I'm talking about, I'm sure, more than some of us men, where we just get the comb and just do whatever with it. But it's more maneuverable. It's more flexible. It's operable. You can use it. You can use it. But I was thinking about that. I was thinking about this morning on my way to church. I was thinking, you know, that is the same way that we enter into the Spirit. When we are fresh, when God washes us, when we really touch in. If I was to start off my morning getting deep into His covering and enter into His covering, how great would my day be? How flexible would I be? How maneuverable would I be if I was in His covering, starting off from the very first of the day? And it goes that way throughout our whole life. If we can move into that, if I feel like God, if I can take that and move into that, I think that my life will be able to be transformed in a great, and not just little ways every day, but in big ways every day. I appreciate the little things the Lord does for me every day, but I want those little things to become big things where I'm not just knocking away little pieces of my sinful life or my carnality, but God has taken dynamite, not just the chisel, but dynamite, and being able to move those mountains, literally move those mountains in my life to where I can reach His mind every single day and be able to go the places where God is dealing with me about. I've just had this great burden lately of trying to reach that in my life of that perfection. I'm starting to see that. I feel like that's what the Lord is dealing with me. Maybe I can. I feel like the Lord, if I can just really, really comprehend. I was talking to my grandpa the other day. I said, you know, there are a lot of different debates on perfection and things like that, but I feel like I understand that that's my goal. I want that to be my goal. Just like there's a car out there that I want, and I say, okay, that's the car I want to drive. I want to drive that car. It costs this amount of money. I make this amount, and this is what I can do to reach that goal. But I don't know, you know, what other financial struggles are going to come my way to where I might not be able to. I know that I'm going to get there somehow. And I've got a goal set, but there may be different paths along the way that I have to take to get there, and I can't see them. I can't see it out, but I know that that's where I've got to go, and I've got the tools and the equipment and the know-how to be able to get there. But it's actually just getting my mind girded up every single day to focus on it. Have you ever had a goal and you're more? It's been proven that if you actually write it down, you're more likely to accomplish that goal. And that's my dad got me into that when I was a young boy, and when I played basketball, I like to use sports analogies. We every single day, when we came into practice, there up on the wall was a picture of the Missouri University's stadium, and that every day we saw that, and that our coach got us in the mindset that if we look at it, if we thought about it, if we realize that it's ours, it's our goal for the taking, that we could go there. And every single day, every single practice, we recognized it, what we were doing, why we were here. Why am I here? Why am I sacrificing hours out of my day to come and be with these people? And as a young boy, I didn't really take those lessons, but as I get older, I start to see how that interprets throughout my entire life. Why am I coming to church and spending hours upon hours of every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every day throughout my day, calling y'all, having to deal with, and you guys having to deal with me, listen to me talk about how I maneuver my hair, but why are you really here? Are you here just to listen to me or get your, approval from me and say, hey, I saw Andrew and I came to my First Gospel Church and I have a church to claim? You know, there was a lot of people in Republic that never really came to our church, but they called it their church and us their church because they didn't have anywhere else to go. But I don't want to be like those people. I want to say that my life is this place, and it is with y'all, with everybody here, that my life is dedicated. I want my life to be that, not just for people to be able to say that, but that's what I want it to be without it having to be said. And I was just so thankful to see the Spirit of the Lord and be able to see the difference how we can tap into the Lord and how other people tap into the Lord and to what He's trying to change us into. We're still unsettled people. God hasn't settled us on some things where what it takes to be able to reach that final step. But I want to be one of the ones that God makes that little extra building block to say, well, I used Brother Fleming, and I'm taking him here, and I want everybody else to be able to come here, and so that the next person can go on, so that maybe someday Brother Ethan can get up here and he can move and he can tap into something. He can be reading the Word, or he can be up here praising God, and he gets a revelation of something that helps everybody else here. I'm just praying for y'all that we can touch God in such a deeper way. Oh God, that we can touch Him in such a deeper way, to where we are able to overcome that pain in our life of being lonely, of being insecure, or being scared, to where we can talk about the Lord in our homes, and we can talk about the Lord with our friends. And talk about Him in our day-to-day conversation, and not be one of those people that are, just fake and just kind of go about their ways and just say, "Oh, I'm Jesus all the time." But they're real. They can feel your reality in your life of how God has changed you, not how this pretty candy-coated picture of Candyland out here that we put for Jesus Christ. But no, but it's real. It's an overcoming. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord has given us that, and He's moving us further. And I just wanted to share my heart and let the Lord know that how thankful I am that He received my praise this morning. And I want to be able to let Him feel that every day in my day. And I just want to let you know that I'm praying for y'all. And if you would, just keep praying for us as we continue to visit with Brittany's grandmother and her dad. And I know it's going to be hard for him, having to lose a family member. It's not a morbid thing to say, but we can see it that she's moving it, that she's letting go of life, and that she's kind of coming to that point. And we just pray that we would have enough strength. Y'all would pray for us that God would use this. God uses times of pain and brokenness to be able to reach people, because really that's what we are. That's me. I was talking to Brother Phil today, and said, what kind of people are the best, are the easiest? Not necessarily just because they're easiest people to reach, but who was it that Jesus loved the most? He loved the children and the people that were broken, because they realized that without God, we don't have anything anyway. I can think that I have, this household and this, and I have, because I have a job, that I'm this safe person, that I am something. But really, God distinguishes the difference if we look in Luke Jesus gives the parable of the publican and the Pharisee, where the publican, where the Pharisee goes in and says, goes in for prayer and says, you know, Lord, thank you for not letting me be like these other people. Thank you for not letting me do this and that. And but the publican goes in and lays prostrate on the floor. God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. And I want me and my household to have that kind of spirit. Say, Lord, we are broken people. And I know that when we go down there and visit with the family, that that we kind of run into some differences on some things, of because you may have been hurt from the past of religious experience. But I think that if I can get in there and just show that I'm not anything. There's nothing that I am. I don't care. Just because I'm a pastor's grandson doesn't mean anything. I'm still me. I still have my own flesh that I have to overcome. It's not just because I have, you know, that's maybe my inheritance, that God has to deal with me in a little tougher way. Sometimes he has got to get the wood pedal out. He's not, you know, not, he doesn't get the little switch. He gets the wood pedal out for the grandkids of the pastor. But God does that because he cares about me. And I realize that. And I just wanted to get up and just let y'all know how much I appreciate y'all and y'all's faithfulness to this church and faithfulness to me. I know I couldn't come in. I know it'd be really depressing for me to be the only one to come in here, and it wouldn't be church. It wouldn't be, because it's y'all's church. It's not just my church. It's our church. And I just want to kind of stretch out my arms today and give y'all a hug because I appreciate every single one of y'all, and I continue to have y'all in my heart.
I really enjoyed that, Brother Andrew, and it's really, really good to hear our young people get up and express their feelings. Let us know how you're feeling, and encourage us. And Brother Smith, I'm getting a little bit where I can say that now, you know, that I'm not one of the young people anymore, but... I was thinking, it's interesting how that God is concerned about our hair, Brother Andrew. I was thinking this morning, I told Brother Weininger, he almost blurted this out, but I'm going to say it for him. When Brother Smith was saying how heaven's going to be, you know, and he said, and I told Brother Weininger, I said, I wonder if Brother Smith thinks that everybody's going to have hair and everybody's going to be 5 foot. What? 5 foot six in heaven. Because that'll be perfect, right? But, you know, in a way, I kind of hope so, at least the hair part anyway. You know, I wouldn't mind being 5 foot six if everybody else was, you know. Right? But I appreciate God being concerned about us having a covering and feeling his presence. You know, I think God wants us to feel that, and just as much as we enjoy feeling it, he wants us to feel his presence in our life. And just like Brother Andrew was saying, in the morning, before we go to work, wherever we go and whatever we do. And I also appreciate what Brother Andrew was saying about focus, because God dealt with me about that a long time ago when I was a younger person. And how that, you know, I remember when I was a teenager, it seemed like I had all kinds of interests. It seemed like I was interested in everything. I've had a lot of different things I've gotten into in my life. But God dealt with me about focusing, getting focused in. You know, Paul was a person who was focused on serving God. That's why he said, you know, I wish everybody would be like me, that, you know, to be single, dedicate your life solely to God. But everybody don't have that calling, you know. But to be, as far as marriage is concerned, but his point was to get dedicated and focused on serving God. And, you know, I want to work on that more in my life, to get focused on serving God and to and praying and studying my Bible and witnessing and realizing that we've got a job ahead of us to see the church, Brother Andrew, to see the church restored. You know, we got a job, especially you younger people, you know, that's you're the ones that's going to be ushering in the, you're going to be the ones in control of the ministry. You'll be the ones that are here doing the work when the body of Christ makes perfection, whenever we make the bride of Christ. And so we got a job to do. We need to get focused on the things that are important, like Paul said. And so I want to try to sing a song. I don't know. Maybe I should go over there and try to sing it. Country where no twilight shadows deepen, unending day where night will never be, a city where the storm clouds cannot gather. Is just what heaven means to me. What joy it will be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the glassy sea. Meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. A place where there is no misunderstanding. And from all enmity and strife we're free. No unkind words to earn the heart are spoken. Now this is just what heaven means to me. What joy to be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the glassy sea to meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee. And when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. For this is just what heaven means to me. What joy to be when we get over yonder
Praise God. It's good to have Brother Tyler and Sister Marissa with us tonight from Batesville. Praise God. Appreciate having them here. and Sister Stewart also.
Amen.
And it's Sister Stewart's birthday. She's 39 and holding. All right, her great granddaughter's with her. I didn't see her. Yeah, I see her now, right there in front of her.
I think that's Emmy.
Emmy, is that right? Emily? Emily, all right. Praise God, we're glad you're here. Yes, Brother Fred Stewart, back from having knee surgery. We're glad he's mending, and I didn't expect him back this quick in service, but I'm glad he's here. I just might take time out right here for while some of you may be getting ready to say something, or I just want to say what a good job y'all did at the ministers' meeting, hosting that meeting. And I think we should recognize these different department heads that worked and labored, and of course all the helpers that helped them, but I really want to recognize Brother Painter up there in the media booth.
Amen.
Didn't he do a good job? A lot of extra work getting things ready. And then the DVDs and CDs, he's still working on all of that. He's got it all done, but there's always little snags and little things that come up that you have to keep taking care of. So while y'all are sleeping at night, he's still worrying, twisting his hair, trying to get it all worked out. And appreciate the team up there that worked with him and helped him. Sister Joanne, she always makes the little booklet that has all the information in it every year. She does such a good job of it. And she's never, you know, she's kind of the unseen hero for me in some way. So I really appreciate Sister Joanne. Sister Ann Thompson's not here, but she really did a good job putting together the meeting menus and the teams and staffing and all for the cooking. But Brother Paul will let you clap for him in her place. And then Sister Inez always does such a good job in the dining room, overseeing the serving and taking care of everybody, waiting on them and all of that. I really appreciate Sister Inez and all the workers with her. Yeah, Brother Sister Weiniger, you know, she's working hours on hours a lot of times, keeping the paperwork and the bookkeeping and all of the deposits and keeping up with the money and writing all the checks and balancing the books. And then she drafted Brother Weiniger, and they did a lot of the decorating, and they decorated the whole men's bathroom. And I'm sorry for you women if you hadn't been able to get in there and see it, how nice it looks. But I really appreciate Sister Weiniger and Brother Weiniger's help and support to her. Has been a great help. Then Brother Fred Stewart, if he's mentioning people on importance, you'd had to got him way up the ladder. I guess we could maybe have a meeting without him, but I wouldn't want to try it. He's everywhere all the time. And such a great worker and help and organizer and manager over the usher staff and every other thing that he does around here that nobody sees. appreciate Brother Stewart. He's a great labor, faithful man of God. Brother Brett Weiniger, in charge of transportation, he never, and doing a lot of other things that he does around here, coordinator, Brother Michael Smith helping him as alternate coordinator. Everything run smooth. You know, if there was any hiccups, I didn't hear about them. And I don't want to know now if there was. So it just seemed like to me everything went perfect. But I appreciate Brother Brett and Brother Michael Smith helping him, coordinating and his transportation efforts. And Brother Daniels, he's takes care of all the sanitary department down there. That's a big job. That's a lot bigger responsibility than some of you may know. If you didn't believe it, just let it go and see what happens. Thank God Brother Daniel's been faithful on the job. All these people took on a big responsibility. And then let's just, what do you say, let's remember Brother Tally, bedding. Boy, now there's a job that I don't ever want to, I hope Brother Tally lives to be 100 and he has a good mind to keep doing that, because I don't know if we can find a replacement in that area. Everybody needing a bed and him getting people out to sleep on the floor so somebody can have their bed. That's a big job, but he did it again. Everybody I know of that needed a bed got one. So, Brother Tally, appreciate him. Praise God. And then all the staff that worked with them and helped them, and all you great saints that supported us, thank you for all your labors and help. Praise God. I don't know. You know, everybody took off work and labored, and Brother and Sister Durham are not here, but Sister Durham helped. She helped me get my book ready. To get it printed before the meeting and to get all the labels, name tags, and little name tents up for all everybody's names. And so I really appreciated them. They're always faithful too. So anyway, I just wanted to say a great big thank you to everybody. Praise God. All right, maybe somebody feels like testifying. Give Sister Reed back there a microphone. I don't remember if she's testified since she's been here, but she needs, you know, I really appreciate her being here, and she just came in and we just acted like, you know, she's always been here. But, and if y'all noticed how she's getting all dolled up, I told her, I said, you keep this up, some old man's going to take interest in you. Just leave that alone, Sister Reed. Go on with the spiritual part.
This truly is not for real. I do appreciate being here, though. I really, really, really do. I've enjoyed meeting everyone. Those of you that I didn't know when I came here, and I've just appreciated and enjoyed so much your open arms, and you've just accepted me and made me feel right at home, and I feel like I've known you forever, and I've just enjoyed worshiping with you and this feeling this wonderful Spirit of the Lord. Today was just wonderful. Last week was wonderful. It has been outstanding. And to think that I've been able to be here, you know, when the Lord opens a door, it gives us an opportunity to walk through it. And I'm so grateful for the leadership that we have and the counsel that Brother Smith has given me and helped through the years. We've stayed in touch, you know, somewhat. The 7 years I was in Louisville, just on a friendly basis, I've stayed in touch with Brother and Sister Smith. Just because I love them. The Lord put, you know, the Republic Assembly in my heart when I first found it over 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago. And I'm just so grateful for the good things of the Lord and the blessings that we all receive together, and how that the Lord will lead and guide us every step of the way, whatever is before us and wherever we have come from or wherever we're going, that we can have confidence in the Lord to know that He is there and that He is taking us every step of the way. So I appreciate being here. I appreciate being here with you and being able to worship with you and to work with you in the minister's meeting. Was such an honor. It was just such an honor to serve the men of God that the Lord has called to carry on His work and to have that responsibility. So I will forgive you, Brother Smith, but because I am appreciative of the good things of the Lord and us being able to be together and worship together, and for a long time our hearts will be together. Praise the Lord.
Couple of days we haven't heard from the realtor, but we want to move down. We God knows best, and if there's work for me to do up there, I want to do God's will. And I've learned that if I give up and let go and let God, then God works it out. And so we should know by noon tomorrow if they're going to accept the bid on this house over here on Manor Street. And it kind of got confusing. They said it's 4-bedroom. But then when the realtor came, it's 3-bedroom, but there's a big living room. And I always said that I would love to have a bedroom that would be set aside for the wayfaring people, some place for if someone needed a place. Because I think back when I got to go to the meetings and the children were younger, and how there was always a place for me to sleep. I relished and I cherished the years when I got to be a chaperone for Michelle and for Nathan and Lainey. I tell you what, you put into your children when they're young, they may go away, but they can't forget. And the joy I saw today to see all of these children have just blessed me all day long. And so we're going to be leaving, I guess, Tuesday, because Tommy has a doctor's appointment Wednesday. And but even when I'm not here, I think about you folks. And I cherish every song and every word that is said. And go with us and guide us.
Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight or this afternoon, and appreciate the message we had on the Holy Ghost this morning. I, It's always always that message is always in season, isn't it? And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me their discussion they had with somebody, and that they had been talking back and forth, you know, in religious terms. And this man said, well, I started to say this, and he said, well, I feel. And the other man jumped on him and said, you feel? You feel? What do you mean you feel? This, we need to know the Word of God, you know. You know, really, you know. And so man told me he thought about that and went back the next day or whenever it was and said, you know, they got talking again. And he said, you know, Jesus said that all men may know that you're my disciples because you have love one to another. Brother, that's feeling. Well, I realize that, you know, everything's not emotion, but emotion is good, isn't it? It's good to feel, you know, I want to feel something from God, you know. I want to feel it. I want to feel God touch my emotions. And then, but then we know we don't want to just live off emotions all the time, but that's kind of, some people do that, they lean that way. I don't say that it's all emotion, but they lean that way. And then intellect, you know, let's, everything's just all black and white, and, you know, and they've crossed every T and dotted every I. They know they're in the know, you know. And I thought, it makes me think of that beatitude Brother Linger gave us. You know, he said, you know, blessed are the flexible because they won't get bent out of shape, you know. And so, you know, and think, and then our will, I think that's where I have trouble with my will, you know. Some people they kind of have that, well, they used to call it a bulldog spirit, you know. They just grab hold and hold on. Well, they got the will, you know. Well, it takes that too, doesn't it? You got to grab hold, you got to hold on. You got to understand the Word of God. Then you need to feel His touch, you know. Remind me of, have y'all heard that message on a weed eater? Okay. All right. There's a little story. It's a and this is made up. It's no reflection on anybody. I realize we're in Arkansas, and we have, you know, kinfolk and family, and this is totally fictional. Anyway, there was a couple of guys, we'll call them Bubba and Cooter. You know. And, you know, Bubba and Cooter, they live in a little small town, you know, and Bubba says to Cooter, said, you know what? They got a college over there and next door, and I think I'm going to go over and see what they're teaching over there, you know. And Cooter, well, why don't you go do that, you know. So Bubba, he moseys on over to the next town over there where the college is and walks up there and finds him a professor and says, Professor, why do y'all teach here at this here college, you know? Fresh thought a minute, said, well, in a nutshell, we teach math and science and logic. Old Bubba said, well, you know, math I understand. I can cipher a little bit and
Science, I know a little bit about that, but what's this here logic you're talking about? So the professor says, well, Bubba, let me ask you something. Do you own a weed eater? Bubba said, well, yeah. Well, logic says, you know, if you've got a weed eater, you probably got a yard or something. Well, you know, Bubba said, that's right, I got a yard, you know. And being that you got a yard, Bubba, that means you probably got a house. Well, that's right, I got a house. And being that you got a house, Bubba, that means you probably got a wife.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And that makes you a heterosexual man. Well, that's right. Well, Bubba, I see what the, how this logic works now, you know. So Bubba, he know, he's got his answer, so he's gonna goes back to small town and gets there. You know, it's one of those small towns. They've got a Sonic on one end, got a Fred's Dollar Store on the other end, and four antique malls, which is just a glorified flea market, isn't it? You know, y'all seen them, you know, and. And every now and then you get a Subway in there too, you know, they kind of show up. So Bubba, he goes back and finds Cooter, and he said, Cooter said, well, Bubba, what'd you learn down there? What do they teach down there at that there college, you know? He said, well, Cooter, they teach math, science, and logic. Cooter says, well, math, I understand. Science, I understand. But Bubba, what's this here logic? Bubba says, now, Cooter, do you own a weed eater? Cooter says, no. Cooter, are you gay? So logic, you could take any set of facts and draw whatever conclusion you want sometimes. Doesn't mean it's the truth. But I'm thankful that God has given us the spirit of truth. Blessed are the flexible, so they won't get bent out of shape. Thankful to be here.
Hallelujah.
I'm thankful to be here tonight.
I just have something short. I'm just glad to say I own two weed eaters.
Well, I think I'm going to follow Ethan over here and say I'm thankful to be here first. But then I sat in there thinking, Lord, how do I follow up Brother Paul? Because we have a yard guy. You know? there are two weed eaters. There used to be a lawnmower in the shed, but him or I neither one have time. So the Lord has blessed us with somebody that takes care of it for us. But I am thankful to be here and just appreciate God and his people.
Oh, I'm thankful to be here today, and I'm 13, and I don't own a weed eater, so I don't think, but yeah, but since there's jokes going on around here, I learned one joke from one of my dad's friends that. You know how we make mistakes? Well, there's this story that this guy, he's golfing, and this he doesn't have a team partner, so he gets to preach. The guy, the manager there, he's like, so do you mind if we hook you up with the preacher? He's like, no, it's fine. So he meets the preacher and says, hi, and stuff. The preacher's like, go ahead. You get the first hole. So the guy's like, okay. Takes a swing. He misses. He's like, gosh darn it, son of a gun, I missed. And then he goes to the second hole. He does it again. He says the same exact thing.